It is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is on the cusp of new voting maps after the legislature voted to adopt maps drawn by Governor Tony Evers' office. We discuss the path forward in efforts to achieve politically neutral districts. Call in with a question. You can share comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. John Johnson is a research fellow at Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So as Republicans advance the Democratic governor's plan to redraw the district maps, and after long opposition here to these maps, why are Republicans now accepting them?
I think there's a few reasons that make Evers' proposal to the Supreme Court a little bit better for Republicans than the other three Democratic-aligned maps that were submitted. In most ways that you measure partisan lean, the Evers proposal is just slightly better for Republicans. It's not a huge difference, but it is measurable. It also pairs fewer incumbents than the other plans in the Assembly and almost all of the other plans in the Senate. So you can imagine Republican legislators finding that appealing. Fewer of them would have to run against another Republican incumbent to in their seat. And then also the Evers map really, as is the case with most of the proposed maps, but not all of them, it makes it basically impossible for Democrats to win a majority of the state Senate in the 2024 cycle. A majority of the state Senate will be very much on the table for Democrats by 2026, but because we only elect half of senators at a time, it means that Republicans can at least be confident that they'll have control of the Senate for two more years.
What would be the significance of the legislature and the governor agreeing to new maps rather than having these maps adopted by the state Supreme Court?
It is the process that is supposed to happen in the Wisconsin Constitution. So it would give these maps stronger legal standing in that sense. The Wisconsin Constitution doesn't say that the state courts or the federal courts ought to draw maps. It says that the legislature and the governor ought to pass maps as a law. And so this would be following that constitutional process as it's written down. Which I think would give it more strength in certain kinds of legal challenges going forward. Also, just as a general matter, it's been pretty uncommon in Wisconsin for the legislature and the governor to actually successfully pass maps this way. You have to go back. It happened in 2011. It happened in 1984. And then I believe it happened one time before that. And so during the modern era of redistricting that begins in the 1960s. So at least as often as not, this isn't something that's happened in Wisconsin. So it's worth taking a moment to note how sort of historically rare this is.
And so would this like eradicate the odd shapes, the Swiss cheese, the strange outlines? Would legislative districts inevitably then be contiguous territory under these new maps?
They are absolutely contiguous. That is correct.
Okay. We are talking about Wisconsin election maps, the plan to redraw the legislative district boundaries in our state. John Johnson, researcher with the Marquette University Law School. Call in with questions and comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Steve in Sun Prairie is here. Steve, hi. What is your question?
Yeah, let's not make any mistake. The reason why we're here is because unethical Janet decided to work with the other liberals on the Supreme Court to make law, which is not legal. But the fact that Evers and some Democrats are against them signing this map that Evers presented is because they want to do the same gerrymandering that they're claiming the Republicans did. So there is no good here. These are all people that are trying to get the best advantage they can. They're all unethical.
Steve, thank you for the call. Steve, noting here that gerrymandering happens whether you're Republican or Democrat. John, what are your insights there?
Well, to the point about I'm not sure what the caller is referring to by saying that Evers opposes these maps. I've only seen statements from his office in the effect that he does support them and is anticipated to sign them today or tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, certainly if you only have to look as far as Illinois to see a state where Democrats draw gerrymanders that are as effective or even more so than what Republicans have done here in Wisconsin.
You analyzed maps proposed to the state Supreme Court and found that if the governor's maps had been in place a year ago, Republicans would have narrow majorities in the legislature. If the maps are adopted, is a similar outcome likely in this year's November elections?
So the analysis I did of how the 2022 election would have shaken out under these maps isn't a prediction of 2024. The
Okay.
2024 electorate will be larger. More people vote in a presidential year, and perhaps Democrats and Republicans will both field different kinds of candidates with potentially better funded campaigns during a more competitive year with a lot of districts that are on the table. So it's difficult to foresee how this will translate there. But maybe this easiest way to explain these maps is that both Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, each of them won a majority of the vote in most of the districts during their 2022 re-election campaigns. So that gives you a sense of how really either party could win a majority under these maps.
The consultants hired by the Supreme Court's liberal majority concluded that the maps submitted by the governor do tilt toward Republicans, as you mentioned, but they are competitive enough. Where in the state would new maps result in more competitive elections?
Yeah, so the biggest change in terms of the number of seats that lean one way or another is in the Madison area, where the number of Democratic leaning seats grows from 11 to 16. And by Madison area, I mean really the whole south central part of the state, stretching all the way down to Beloit. But we also see increases in the number of Democratic leaning or seats that Democrats might hope to win in the Racine-Kenosha area, in the sort of southern and western Milwaukee suburbs, the city of Sheboygan, the Green Bay area, the Fox Valley, Eau Claire, La Crosse, and the suburbs of Wisconsin that are sort of adjacent to the Twin Cities in Hudson. And then also, this restores a Democratic-leaning seat in far northwestern Wisconsin around Duluth.
Looking at that Milwaukee area, the WOW counties, as they've been called, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, where will you? I mean, we've seen some movement in those counties, under current maps. Do you see more movement in future elections?
That has been the pretty consistent direction of change ever since Trump's election in 2016. We've seen those suburbs, particularly the ones with higher average levels of education, move away from the Republicans. In some cases, they've actually flipped from Republican leaning to Democratic leaning. In other cases, they're just less strongly Republican than they used to be. And indeed, it does look like some of the battleground seats in this map are going to be in those areas. It's entirely possible that the Senate majority will ultimately hinge on districts like Senate District 8, which will stretch under the Evers map from Whitefish Bay up through Milwaukee's North Shore, all the way up to Port Washington, then through Mequon and over to Menominee Falls. So that'll be a pretty quintessential suburban, largely WOW County district. Be fascinating to see how it votes. Right now, it still leans Republican, but it has been moving quite a lot.
John Johnson is a research fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University Law School. As we discuss developments with new voting maps here in Wisconsin, call in with a question. You can add your point of view, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the stages of implementing new election maps in Wisconsin and what the movement of political boundaries will mean for upcoming elections. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. John Johnson is a Lubar Center Research Fellow at Marquette University Law School. Let's bring in Dawson in Trempealeau County. Dawson, hi.
Hello. I was wondering, since so many more seats will be swing seats with a lot more campaigning, do you foresee a more active state Senate where more things are being proposed and passed?
Dawson, thank you. John, what might be the ripple effect?
I think that's it's a perceptive question, I think, because the way I see it is, you know, are legislators in either party going to behave differently, knowing that they themselves might lose their race, but also that their party might lose control of their chamber if they don't do things that are popular? Certainly advocates for nonpartisan redistricting hope that that will be the case. The idea of having a more responsive set of legislative seats is that the legislators will pass laws that they need to pass in order to remain popular enough to continue winning election. I certainly hope that will be the case here in Wisconsin.
I would imagine, though, more brisk campaigning for votes could happen if a seat isn't a given.
Yes, I would think so. It's also worth pointing out that a lot of people are going to find themselves in districts that won't have an incumbent running in them at all because they're drawn in such a way that no incumbents live in them anymore. So there will be these open primaries in August, which is a really important opportunity to be able to shape policy in the state legislature as well.
As you said, Governor Evers has until tomorrow to veto the maps or sign the maps into law, and previously said he would sign his maps into law. Some Democratic lawmakers, though, are urging the governor to hold out for perhaps better maps. Why might the governor consider vetoing the maps?
I don't know if he's considering that, but I know some Democrats, you know, recognizing that some of the other plans before the state Supreme Court are slightly better for Democrats, are wishing that they had one of those plans instead.
We saw last week U.S. Representative Mark Pocan of Wisconsin questioning whether Republicans had accepted Evers' maps with the intention of challenging them in federal court. What do you think of that possibility?
I struggle to follow that line of reasoning. It's certainly possible that these maps could be challenged in court, federal court, under Voting Rights Act grounds or something of the sort, but that's equally true if they were imposed by the state Supreme Court as if they were passed by the legislature.
So if the legislature and the governor come to a consensus, though, would that mean that they would be less likely to be challenged under federal civil rights law? Can you go further on that?
Yeah, I don't know that would have any impact on whether or not they'd be challenged under federal civil rights law, whether they were passed legislatively or imposed by the state Supreme Court. And I think that sort of challenge is unlikely to succeed here because the districts that federal civil rights law applies to in this map are very similar to both the map we used in the 2022 election and then the map that was used for the previous decade. I believe that was a deliberate choice on the part of the map drawers to keep those districts essentially the same. But I think the legal threat that passing these maps through the constitutional process would help avoid is if this court chose maps on its own, this state Supreme Court, there's no reason why a future state Supreme Court with a different ideological majority couldn't simply choose different maps of its own, simply throw out this decision and choose new ones that it preferred. It's harder for a Supreme Court to do that in the future if we have maps in the state that were actually passed by the legislature and signed by the governor.
Turning to the consultants who are hired by the courts for a moment here to conduct a statistical analysis of the four plans submitted to the state Supreme Court, how useful was that process of weighing the pros and cons?
I think the value of the consultant's report was to, in a really comprehensive, rigorous way, go through each of the criteria that the justices laid out in their December ruling and measure statistically how each plan performed across those criteria in a uniform way. A lot of attention was paid to the small amount of editorializing that the consultants did at the end of their report, but the great majority of the space is just a statistical analysis. And it's not as if the justices had hired those consultants to like make up the justices' minds for them. I think they were looking for a set of statistics that they could use, and that is what they received.
John Johnson is with us, researcher with Marquette University Law School, as we talk about the plan forward to redraw legislative district maps. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234. So it could take two election cycles for new maps to fully affect the legislature. All assembly seats are up for election in 2024. Only half of the Senate seats are typically up for election each year. What do these cycles mean for how quickly control of the legislature could shift?
So the assembly, I think genuinely either party could win under these maps in November. You know, you probably slightly favor Republicans, if for no other reason than that they have more incumbents, and incumbents still have an advantage in Wisconsin. You know, if you have an otherwise 50-50 seat and you have an incumbent running, all things being equal, you'd expect that incumbent to win. But that's still that being said, it's going to be a really competitive chamber. It'll be fascinating to watch. In the Senate, Democrats do have some pickup opportunities. I think it's almost certain under these maps that Republicans would win the supermajority. They would lose the supermajority they currently hold in the Senate. But their outright majority across all 33 seats wouldn't really be on the table in 2024, although if Democrats win all of the Senate seats that are up for election and that lean towards them in 2024, then majority control of the state Senate will be something that both parties are contesting in 2026.
And also paying attention to this recall effort underway that's targeting Assembly Speaker Robin Boss in his home district. What would these new maps mean if a petition forces a new election?
There's some ambiguity there because the bill passed by the legislature that would implement Evers maps implements those maps for the 2024 general election cycle, so the primary in August and the general election in November. It's pretty standard language in redistricting bills. The phrase in the court's ruling in December that tossed the old maps said that it was banning the use of those maps in future elections, but some legal scholars I've talked to think that in their minds, it's clear that a recall election would still take place under the districts in which the politician being recalled was elected. But I suspect that that'll go before a judge at some point to get a ruling clarifying that question.
So the State Elections Commission has this target date of March 15th for new maps for this year's elections, and the date affects deadlines that candidates must meet to run for office. What happens next to ensure that that mid-March deadline is met?
Well, if Ever signs this today or tomorrow, then those are the maps we'll use. And there will be some work that local elections clerks have to do to make sure their ward boundaries line up with the new districts, if there are any changes there, that sort of thing. But they'll have time to do that. In the unexpected case where Evers does veto these maps, then the court has said that they are poised to enact a remedial map of their choosing.
Okay, so the court would step in if a new map is not figured out between the legislature and the governor, the court is ready then to act.
That's right.
Well, John, thank you so much for your analysis. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
John Johnson is a research fellow at Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can stream it later today at WPR.org/mornings. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.